Join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey continue with Moving Your Family Forward.
It says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. Everybody say pleasant words.
Pleasant words.
So you have to be deliberate about speaking pleasant words in your home, even though circumstances aren't always pleasant, even though your spouse may not always be pleasant, even though your children may not always be pleasant, even though you don't feel pleasant, okay? We still have to be very deliberate about speaking pleasant words, because the Bible said if we do, they're like honeycomb. They're sweet. They bring health to the bone. So that tells us unpleasant words are sour and bitter and nasty. And rather than bring health to the bone and make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we realize that words affect the atmosphere in our home such to degree that at least in two places, Solomon says, Proverbs 21 and 19, he said, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And then he says in Proverbs 21 and 9, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. He said, even if you got a triple wide, he said, it's still better to be on the roof than in the house brawling. And you know, for our purposes, we're not going to, you know, this is not about gender, okay, about the woman being a brawler and the man being brawled, because men can brawl too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the bottom line, he's basically saying that you'd rather not even be in a home if there's just contentious brawling in the home.
Right.
And it's a home where one or the other is always demonstrating anger or is always angry. Okay. So how do you discuss without brawling? Because just because you have a discussion doesn't mean you have to brawl. What's brawling? What's brawling?
Nastiness, attitude, volume control, that's over the top, the pitch of your voice.
Going
yelling,
to 100.
Yelling, screaming, all that kind of stuff, I guess.
Okay.
Brawling, I'm thinking it's not, when I think of brawling, you know, maybe it's just my filter.
Thinking being physical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like,
And we know there are people who get physical. Okay, and you know, I mean, and some people that's what they do in their home. You know, I grew up well. Even your home, you and your sisters used to fight.
Me and my sister.
Oh, it was one particular
just
sister.
One.
Which one was it?
I don't know.
I got a feeling I know which one it was, because I wanted to fight it myself.
Only one. So my siblings. So I had an older sister and I had a brother. We didn't fight.
You and your older sister and your brother didn't fight.
We didn't fight.
It was just one.
We didn't even have bad words with each other.
Just fought.
No, I'm talking about other siblings.
Oh, it was you and this one.
Just this one.
Mm.
We
like a thorn in your flesh.
We had to sleep in the same room too, so it was quite intense sometimes.
Wow, has that been resolved?
I've resolved some things. You're trying to pick here, right?
No, I'm just curious.
Something.
I'm just curious. Is all this over?
We still have some challenges.
You have challenges.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
And some of us we came up in homes where you brawled, either verbally or physically. Now we want to discourage all of that, especially the physical, but and sometimes people think it's okay for siblings to fight and all that kind of stuff, but you still want to avoid that as well. But I think what's even far worse is when you have husbands and wives who get physical with each other.
Yeah.
Okay? And the reason why I think there should be no exception to that, of getting physical with each other out of anger and all that, is because stuff can happen and you never intended for it to happen. If you push me and I fall down and hit my head on the corner of the desk and develop a hemorrhage or aneurysm or whatever and die, the fact that you didn't mean to do it doesn't bring me back to life.
Right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? Well, but he I didn't mean it. Well, you just got me upset. Whatever. That doesn't change that. And so I think you need to have a rule. Now, I had to explain this to Pastor Marshall.
Well, you know what? He's really go ahead. Let's do this today.
Because
let's do
I
this.
Had to let her know we are not going to be physical.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Where are you getting this from? Come
so
on.
When we first got married, she got it. We were living in our first apartment,
okay.
And she was upset with me.
Let me talk. I'm having some thoughts. Go ahead. I want to see how you tell this story.
No, I'm going to tell it right.
Uh-huh.
And so we were having an intense time of fellowship,
uh-huh.
or what was intense at that time. And she decides she wants to leave. I'm getting up out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, no, we're married now. You can't run away
mm-hmm.
every time we have an argument. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're married. I'm leaving. So I stood in front of the door.
Right.
And I stood in front of the door, and she kept trying to push me.
Oh, my goodness. Shame on you, Herbert Bailey. Hold up, y'all. I'm trying to go out, and he kept pushing me back. And I'm like, get your hands off of me. And you kept pushing me back and said, no,
but
we're not going to go.
I said, don't. I said, don't.
No.
Stop.
You were pushing me.
No.
You were pushing me. Okay, two sides to the story. And I said, get your hands off of me.
What kind of hands?
Hands.
She hadn't been saved long. I think she had an adjective for those hands.
I don't think I said that at that moment. Yes.
But that's
hilarious.
Yeah, for
that's
the most
hilarious.
Part, that's probably as physical we've gotten other than good physical.
Good physical, okay. Yeah.
And maybe one other time when you got mad at me.
Yeah.
Something. I had to constrain you again.
Oh, yeah. And you hurt my shoulder that time.
But I was trying to constrain you.
And I should have went to the hospital. And
okay.
I should have let them take pictures.
You know, there's
that's what I should have done.
There's some demons you can cast out. and some you got to physically bind. So I had to physically bind a couple
mm-hmm.
of times.
Mm-hmm.
While I was casting
mm-hmm.
it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you succeed in casting it
out?
Well,
let me see. I think they're gone
mm-hmm.
now.
You think they're gone? Okay.
Yeah, so, you really want to avoid physical confrontations, okay? I think you want to avoid even the verbal ones getting out of control. But again, and so the whole thing of hitting and pushing and shoving and all those kind of things, I really think you need to avoid that at all costs.
Because things can happen.
Things can happen. James 3, when we often talk about envy and strife, I want to kind of talk about that with respect to the home and the family. James 3, starting at verse 13, He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, that word conversation, that means lifestyle. And, you know, it's something how we read the word, and we can apply the word to every area sometimes except in our homes with our families. So we think I need to show a good conversation, which means lifestyle or behavior or the way I live my life. We're thinking about out in the world to the sinners in Walmart and to the fellow workers on our job. But can we start in a home with this?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're a wise person, if you have the knowledge of God, start demonstrating that out of a good conversation, out of good lifestyle, out of good behavior, right in your home, before you even go out into the street. Okay, so all this stuff, I'm going to use a strong word here, all this hypocritical stuff we do of being so sweet as we're walking in the door to the church. Praise the Lord. God, oh, you sure look nice. How you doing? Blessed. All that, and we do all that coming to the church, and y'all haven't even talked or said anything to each other this morning on the way to church. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be y'all.
Yeah.
Okay? That shouldn't be. So let him show out a good conversation, works with his works with meekness of wisdom. Then verse 14 says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So let's think of the home. If I have envy and strife in my home, the scripture says, don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Glory not. And don't lie against the truth. We got to get this right.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not sure how much we think about this in the home and in the family.
Right.
We think about this in terms of being a witness to the world.
Yeah.
And now I can tell you, there was a time, I think years ago, I don't know if this is in my mind or we actually had this discussion about this, but in my mind, I justified that I could kind of go to 100 and yell and scream and all that kind of stuff at home because you know me.
Yeah, we had a discussion about
it. Okay, we had a discussion about this. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, why are you acting like, well, listen, I said, I need to be myself at home. You know me. You understand me.
No, Jesus.
I understand you crazy. I understand you sound like you look like you're bipolar right now.
Yeah.
Okay? But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, I got to be nice to everybody else, especially because I'm a pastor and I'm a minister, and I can't trip with y'all, but I can trip with my wife because she understands me. Can I tell you that's the wrong kind of thinking?
Yeah, and I had a hard time trying to understand that too.
Yeah,
I was like,
and so the Lord had to deal with me about that. Now watch this. This is my wife, but even if she wasn't my wife, she's my sister in Christ.
Mm.
How are you supposed to treat another brother or sister in the Lord? Would you yell and scream and go to 100 with them? Mm. We know we shouldn't, right? And yet we tolerate ourselves doing that with our spouses,
yeah,
or even our children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because those are children, but the way we talk to them and how we respond to them, all this is an indication of our love walk with God.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
And we don't think about that. So we got envying and we got strife. Let's for the sake of emphasis of the scripture, and don't anybody take literally, because if you add or take away, your name gonna be taken out the book of life. Okay, but follow me along here. Let instead of hearts, let's put home there. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your homes, glory not and lie not against the truth. And he said, this wisdom, when he said thinking like this, does not come from above. It's earthly. I think one time teaching that I said, at best is earthly, and at worst is demonic or devilish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's earthly, it's sensual, you know, your emotions, and at the root of it is devilish. It's of the devil. And I'm going to show you that in a moment, why it's demonic when we have all kinds of envy and strife and brawling kind of contention in our homes. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there's what? Confusion and every evil work. So when we have strife with our spouses, strife with our children, and all in this bitter, brawling kind of atmosphere, it's an opportunity for the devil to come in and destroy mm-hmm. our harvest,
yep.
destroy our health,
yep.
destroy our sanity, mm-hmm. destroy our peace, and ultimately destroy our families.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for the devil to get in. There's confusion, every evil. And then he says it again, but the wisdom that is from above, that comes from God, is pure. Look at this, y'all. It's peaceable.
Mm.
It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. Let me give another definition for easy to be entreated. Easy to get along with. Come on, y'all know some people who just hard to get along with. And the part of them that's hard to get along with, y'all know God don't have anything to do with that. And we can say all day long, well, this is just the way I am, and this is the way I was raised. No, you got to change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. All things supposed to pass away. All things become new. So if we are operating even in our homes and with our relationships, even with our spouse and children, the way we should, it should be peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Let me give another picture of easy to be entreated. Easy to talk to. Okay. Easy to entreat. Easy to walk up to. Okay. I told some of y'all remember this. Right after 9/11. What was that? 9/11, 2001. After the bombings and the planes going to the World Trade Center and all that. Pastor Marshall and I, around her birthday, that was 9/11, September 11th, around her birthday, September 27th, we already had a trip planned to go to Chicago just for a few days. And so the whole thing was, everybody was scared to fly. We had this trip planned, and they were even letting people cancel flights and all that. I said, the devil is a liar. I said, God's not giving us a spirit of fear. We're going to Chicago.
But we were scared.
But we were binding and taking authority over the spirit of fear.
You scared okay? on that plane. Oh, my God.
We were traveling at that time, and, we would see,
it was ridiculous.
We would see particular types of people with backpack, and Pastor Mark's like, why you got a back on? He don't need to have no backpack on. What's in the backpack? We were taking authority over that. And so I was on the plane, and I tried to get the flight attendant's attention. And I couldn't get the flight attendant's attention. And the flight attendant, has some effeminate characteristics. Okay? The only reason why I'm saying that, because he became very demonstrative. And so, and so I had to walk up to him. And I said, excuse me, don't be walking up on me. Don't be walking up on me. You need to ring the bell. You don't be walking up on me like that. Okay, he was scared. Okay, he was scared because, this is his job. 2 weeks ago, planes was hijacked and all that, and I had to laugh because I'm scared, he's scared. Okay, and don't be walking up. He went off. He was walking up on me. Well, when a person is easy to be entreated, you can walk up on them.
Right.
Okay, versus what you want? What, honey? What?
Or you don't have to have a conversation in your head before you have a conversation.
Explain that.
Because a person is not easy to be entreated. You're trying to figure out what to say, and not to cause an issue or some type of conflict. So you're having this conversation in your head to make sure when you do say it, it comes out right. And so if that's going on, then it's a challenge with an individual being easy to be entreated.
Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality. That means watch this, y'all, and I have to honestly tell y'all this. I learned this just by being around Bishop Jakes. Without partiality, it's talking about just being nice to everybody.
Everybody.
Be nice to everybody.
It's nice to be nice.
Seriously, really, people shouldn't have to earn you being nice to them.
Oh,
Now, I can understand that they can lose it. But the average person shouldn't have to earn you being nice to them. My daughter-in-law, who at the time was the newest member of our family, she said something to me one time that really stuck with me. She said, if I'm not the person who made you upset, I shouldn't know you upset. Doesn't that make sense? If I'm not the person who made you upset, then I shouldn't know you upset. But you snapping at me because you're mad at your boss. I'm not your boss.
Right.
You snapping at me because somebody, because you were stuck in traffic on the way home. But I didn't hold you up in the traffic. Okay? Without partiality, without hypocrisy, that means with sincerity. And say, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And this is going to make sense. We're going to read it from another translation. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When I read that scripture, I thought about Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth, right? They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. So real children of God make peace and produce peace and promote peace. Now, none of this. Now, if you're feeling convicted with any of this, please understand, we ain't talking about heaven or hell. We ain't saying you're not saved. What we're saying is you got to grow in the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
and let your salvation that's taking place on the inside start manifesting itself in your relationships.
Right.
And in your families.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, that scripture from New Living Translation, James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times. Everybody say, Lord,
help me be gentle
at all times.
All times.
Watch this. And willing to yield to others. I thought that was so good. Because in any relationship, especially in a marriage relationship, you're going to have to be willing to yield to your spouse. And what keeps people contentious is nobody wants to yield.
Somebody wants to win. Somebody's trying to win.
So you're stuck in you want to win versus the relationship winning. You want to win versus the marriage winning. And so somebody has to yield. Okay. And this is a yield. Let's think about riding down the interstate or coming onto the interstate. Okay. The person, so there's a sign there that says, even though you're going right now, what? Stop and let the other person go on first. That's yielding. Sometimes you have to voluntarily let the other person be first. Sometimes you have to voluntarily, okay, I'm going to hold back and let you go ahead and do that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yielding.
Now, that sounds pretty hard to do.
Yeah. I do it all the time.
I was going to say, what?
You know I yield.
When's the last time?
I yield,
time?
I yield. Okay. I be screaming, I yield, I yield.
When's the last time you yielded, Herbert Bailey?
I yield
Bishop
all the time.
Bishop designate.
Okay. Just think about it. 2 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
I told you I did, and I still
uh-huh.
I still didn't have to go.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see Jurassic Park.
Jurassic
Park. I had no desire, no interest, but not only did I go, I planned it.
You did.
I bought the tickets.
I wouldn't call that yielding.
No, yeah, it is yielding. Come, brothers, if you go somewhere you don't want to go, ain't that yielding?
That's just cooperating. That's just being
whatever
nice.
Is yielding.
That's just being nice. Yielding is when you have that remote in your hand and you're sleeping with
now,
it.
Now, let's not
wait,
get
wait,
carried
wait,
away.
Wait. You're sleeping.
Let's
with
not
it.
Get carried away now.
And you hear, and you feel.
Let's not be unreasonable.
You feel somebody come get it. You're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I said, you're sleeping. No, I'm watching. I'm watching. What are you doing? Yielding is if I come touch the remote.
Sometimes you got to hold on. Don't let the devil steal your joy.
Oh, okay. Your joy. Okay. Okay.
So as I was saying here.
Okay.
Willing to yield to others. Continue with James 3, verse 17, New Living Translation. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. Mm. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Everybody say, help us, Lord.
Help us, Lord.
Look at this. Good. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. and reap a harvest of righteousness.
That's good.
So sometimes you have to make the decision, I'm going to sow seeds of peace. There's a scripture that I actually, when I put this one down.
Can I also say, sowing seeds of peace doesn't mean just being quiet. Sometimes we say, well, I'm trying to sow a seed of peace, and you're being silent and you're being quiet and not responsive. So that's not sowing seeds of peace when you need to have a conversation. And he said, well, I'm sowing a peaceful seed and I'm not going to respond. Nah, we can't do that.
So explain how you balance that.
Well, how you balance it, you say, well, okay, you know, you get yourself together. Or if you need to, you know, maybe you're challenged with, you know, your emotions and you're going to start yelling or say brawling words. Just say, hey, I need a moment. Give me a second and I'll get back to you. Or, you know, so you can have this conversation. But you're engaged, you're listening, you're giving eye contact, you're responding. And that's sowing a seed of peace, because you could be responding a particular way, but no, I'm not going to respond this way. I respect you, I'm in relationship with you, and I'm going to engage with you.
Our families should get better with each generation. As we progress as a society, so should our families. Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey, along with members of their own family, get candid about their own experiences to help you move your family forward. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Moving Your Family Forward. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.